Dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada, welcome to our program, The Power of the Rosary, from Toronto and hosted by Reno. It's a program where we share the good news of praying the Holy Rosary when we invite Mary, our Heavenly Mother, and recite her favorite prayer. She promises her protection, guidance, and solutions to the problems that plague our lives. Let's pay attention to the joyful news of help and comfort. Welcome.
Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave.
Welcome to all our dear Radio Maria listeners. Today we continue with the theme on the power of the Holy Rosary, but today we'll consider on how to recite the Rosary well. In our last episodes, we have highlighted the power of the Rosary as taught and emphasized by Our Lady. This prayer has been enriched with countless graces and merits for whoever recites it regularly and devoutly. In fact, there are 15 promises given by the Virgin herself and many other benefits that have been added by the Church, and they are as follow. First, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the Rosary shall receive signal graces. Now, a signal grace may be a simple sign in daily life that answers a question made in prayer and points towards God's will. Number two, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the Rosary. 3. The Rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. 4. It will cause good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of man from the love of the world and its vanities, and it will lift them to the desire for eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means.
The soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the Rosary shall not perish. In other words, anyone who faithfully prays the Rosary and asks for Mary's intercession will be saved from hell. Whoever shall recite the Rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. Number 7. Whoever shall have a true devotion for the Rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the Church. That means Our Lady ensures that the soul will receive sanctifying grace through the sacraments prior to its departure from the body. Number 8. Those who are faithful to recite the Rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of His graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. Number 9. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the Rosary.
10. the faithful children of the Rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. 11. You shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the Rosary. 12. All those who propagate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities. 13. I have obtained from my Divine Son that all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of their death. 14. All who recite the Rosary are my sons and brothers of my only Son, Jesus Christ. And lastly, devotion to my Rosary is a great sign of predestination. In other words, devotion to the Rosary is a good indication that the devotee is on the path to heaven. We want to highlight one key promise, the sixth promise, which says, whoever shall recite the Rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its secret mysteries, shall never be conquered and never overwhelmed by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice, and he shall not perish by an unprovided death, in other words, not prepared for heaven. The sinner shall convert, and the just shall grow in grace and become worthy of eternal life.
The words "an unprovided death" means dying while not in a state of grace, that is, dying with an unconfessed mortal sin. The Blessed Mother promises that anyone who regularly prays the Rosary and earnestly tries to live according to God's will be spiritually prepared when their time of death comes. In addition, both St. Dominic Guzman and Blessed Bartolo Longo, valiant warriors of the Rosary, tell us, if you seek salvation, spread the Rosary. It is Mary's promise. Whoever spreads the Rosary is saved. So, whomever prays, teaches, and encourages the recitation of the Rosary is assured of the salvation of the soul at time of death and help during earthly life. A key question that we need to ask is, how should we recite the Holy Rosary? The answer to this question comes from St. Louis de Montfort towards the end of his book called The Secret of the Holy Rosary. He says that whoever recites the Rosary must be in God's grace or at least resolved to get out of the state of guilt, because theology teaches that good works and prayers done in mortal sin are dead works, not pleasing to God and without any merit to eternal life.
In addition, the scriptures in Ecclesiastes says, praise is not seemly in the mouth of a sinner because it is insincere. The faithful in a mortal state must at least be resolved to get out of the state of guilt, because if it were absolutely necessary to be in God's grace to pray for them to be pleasing to God, to the Lord, it would follow that he who would be in mortal sin should never pray, while they in fact need to pray more than the righteous. Were this horrible doctrine true, it would be useless and futile to tell a sinner to say the Rosary, because it would never help him. Keep in mind that when we recite the Rosary inattentively and not in a state of grace, we present roses to Mary in a dirty, filthy, and contaminated vase. Judge for yourself if this would be acceptable to any lady, especially Our Lady. So St. Louis recommends that we earnestly advise everyone to say the Rosary, the virtuous, that they may persevere and grow in the grace of God, and sinners, that they may rise from their sins. If one is not in a state of grace, then resolve and go to confession as soon as possible.
Therefore, when reciting the Rosary, we should be attentive, because God listens more to the voice of the heart than the oral voice. Praying to God with willful inattention is a great irreverence that makes our rosaries fruitless and actually sinful. So how can we expect God to listen to us and our requests if we ourselves don't listen to ourselves? The Holy Spirit in Jeremiah chapter 48 says, cursed is he who is lax in doing the work of the Lord. Of course, due to human frailties, it is not possible to recite the rosary without any involuntary distraction. But we can and should recite it without voluntary distractions and take precautions to keep our attention focused while decreasing and eliminate any involuntary distractions. So when we pray, put ourselves in the presence of God and His Holy Mother and imagine that we are in their company and that they are looking and listening to us. Let us remember that prayer is essentially a struggle and a battle, and while bearing its fruit, it destroys the evil in us. It destroys evil around us, and it strengthens and advances the kingdom of God while defeating the kingdom of darkness. Prayer is essentially a worthwhile battle, and the more difficulty in reciting it well, the more it becomes deserving. The more it purifies us, and the greater love is shown to God.
The Lord encourages us to always pray and never get tired. However, occasionally we may pray in unpleasant situations, but we do this for the love of God. So keep these considerations in mind and not be discouraged. St. Louis further advises us that before starting each decade of the Rosary, to stop for a few moments, depending on the time available, and consider the mystery we're about to recite. Then ask for the intercession of the Virgin for a virtue that stands out more in this mystery and for which we need. There are two common deficiencies that almost everyone who recites the Rosary make. The first is not to formulate any intention before starting the Rosary. So let us consider why we are reciting the Rosary and then make the intention accordingly. The second obstacle, being the more frequent defect, is to rush and finish the prayer as soon as possible. This happens because reciting the Rosary may be boring or perhaps done as an obligation or of conscience or as a penance. Surely, when the Rosary is recited in like manner, it is displeasing, troubling, and offends the Divine Majesty. Prayer should be an act of homage and honor that we give to the Queen.
Think for a moment if one brings a bouquet of wilted flowers to a lady with a long face. How would the lady feel? Would she not find herself embarrassed and offended? Certainly she would refuse the gesture and would not accept those flowers brought in such dire conditions. So let us be careful to recite the Rosary well, so that it will be well appreciated and deserving of the blessings that we desire. St. Louis also urges us to recite the Rosary on our knees with the crown between our fingers when possible. But if one is sick, he should recite it while lying in bed or sitting up. Those who are traveling, recite it while walking. Recite it also while working if it is possible, and if it does not interrupt with the obligations of one's employment. Manual work should not prevent prayer if it leaves the heart free. It is true that as human beings we have many limitations, so our soul is also limited in the exercises of their faculties. If the attention is taken up by other works, we may not be attentive to the operations of the Spirit in prayer. But in such necessity, prayer is more pleasing to the eyes of Our Lady, who rewards good, the will, more than the outward action. So prayer can be inserted in all situations in which we find ourselves, and there should be no obstacles to praying the Rosary.
In the book, The Secret of the Rosary, St. Louis de Montfort relates the story of a priest who had advised three sisters, his penitents, to pray the Rosary devoutly every day for a whole year. The intent was to make a beautiful dress of glory to the Virgin Mary. He said it was a secret he had received from heaven. The three sisters carried out the advice for the whole year. On the evening of the day of the purification, when they were already in bed, the Madonna, accompanied by St. Catherine and St. Agnes, entered their room. She was attired in a dress shining with light, with the greeting written in the golden letters, "Hail Mary, full of grace." The Heavenly Queen approached the eldest sister in bed and said to her, "Hail, my daughter. You greeted me so often and so well. Now I come to thank you for the magnificent dress you have made for me. The two holy companions also thanked the young woman. Then all three disappeared. An hour later, the Blessed Virgin returned, always accompanied by the two saints. This time she was wearing a green dress, without gold embroidery, but without any splendor. She went to the second sister's bed and thanked her for the dress she had made for her with the recitation of the rosary.
In the first apparition, she noticed that the Madonna's dress was much richer, and she asked the reason for the difference. "Because," replied Maria, "your elder sister made me a much more beautiful dress, reciting the rosary better than you." And then she disappeared. About an hour later, the Madonna reappeared for the third time now. She's dressed in torn and dirty rags. She approached the younger sister and said to her, "My daughter, this is how you clothed me? Thank you." Full of confusion, the youngest girl exclaimed, "Is this possible, my lady? Did I dress you so badly? Forgive me and give me a little more time so that I can make you a more beautiful dress by reciting the rosary better." When the vision ceased, the poor and very afflicted young girl went to the confessor to tell him what had happened. The priest urged her and the other sisters to pray the rosary for another year with more commitment and devotion, and they did just that.
After the year, on the same day of the purification, the Madonna reappeared to the three sisters and was accompanied as the first time by St. Agnes and St. Catherine. She wore a truly magnificent dress. She told them, "Be certain, my daughters, you will come to heaven. Tomorrow you will enter the and great will be your joy." Unanimously, the sister replied, "Our heart is ready, beloved lady. We do not want anything else." That same evening, the sisters, taken ill, sent for their confessor and received the last sacraments from him and thanked him for having taught him that holy practice. The Madonna reappeared, preceded by a multitude of virgins who dressed the three sisters in white tunics. Thus the three lucky girls set off towards the heavenly homeland, while a choir of angels sang, "Come, spouses of Christ, receive the crown that you have prepared for yourself for eternity." From this story, we realize how important and useful it is to recite the rosary with devotion. St. Louis advises us that besides praying faithfully with attention, the most important quality in reciting the rosary is with faith and humility. He also advises us that the rosary said with others is much more fearful to the devil than when prayed alone, because sometimes the devil easily triumphs over the prayer of an individual, but finds it very difficult to overcome when prayed with others. For example, that it is easy to break a single rod, but when several rods are joined in a bundle, the bundle does not break so easily. And as the saying goes, unity makes strength. So, dear listeners, let us pray the rosary, but if it possible, pray the rosary with others. The fruits will be sweeter and much more abundant. Now we will take a short break and then resume with our theme on the power of the Holy Rosary.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see, there will be an answer. answer. Let it be.
Welcome back. We will now hear some stories that lead us to learn more about the power of the Rosary and its power to protect and help us solve the many problems we encounter in our life. While we tell the story of a woman having great difficulties with her pregnancy, we invite our listeners to prepare a testimony on the power of the Rosary that they have encountered in their life and want to share with other listeners, to mail it either by regular mail or electronic mail to Radio Maria Canada here in Toronto. Please include Power of the Rosary as part of the address, and we will read them in one of the next episodes. We remind you that the reason in sharing these personal stories is to increase our faith as to pray the Rosary more frequently and even daily. The first story is told by Roberta, a young mother facing challenging pregnancy problem. She says, it was August of 2007, and I was in the second month of pregnancy, expecting my third child. One evening, while I was attending evening mass in our little church of the Madonna di Bonaria, I was overwhelmed by terrible stomach pains. This never happened before, and I feared the worst. I ran back home, but soon found myself standing in a pool of blood. Between screams and the despair, my husband immediately rushed me to the emergency at the local hospital.
As I was admitted, a variety of medical tests and checks were made. The attending physicians told me that I had lost everything by now, and there was nothing more that could be done, and proposed a scraping, which was scheduled the next day. Confused, disappointed, and frightened, I begged my doctor to wait a few days for the scraping and to reschedule the appointment 2 weeks later, because my heart was telling me not to do that scraping. We managed to convince the doctor, and we took all responsibility for the extended delay of the medical procedure. Exactly 10 days later, I had the joy of hearing my baby's heartbeat. The doctor told me that it was impossible for this to happen, and it was a miracle. I pray to Our Lady and her rosary very much now, and my little girl is almost 12 years old, and she knows the story and adores Our Lady. Thank you, dear Mother. I will never stop thanking you. And now I only ask and pray for health for my family and for all and everyone who invokes her maternal help. Thank you.
The second example tells the story of the renowned Battle of Lepanto, which was fought on October 7, 1571. This was one of the most important maritime warfare clashes in which the future of the Christian world would be decided. In fact, if this battle had been lost, the Christian world would have ended, and perhaps Christianity itself might have ended as well. The Battle of Lepanto was a naval battle that took place on October 7, in 1571, between the Turkish Muslim fleet commanded by Ali Pasha and the Christian fleet under the command of the 24-year-old Don Giovanni of Austria, the son of the King Charles V. This battle originated from the desire of the Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent, and then continued with his successor Selim II to expand the Muslim Empire.
These goals led the Ottomans of Turkey to attack Christian strongholds and possessions, and in particular the Venetian colonies in the Mediterranean Sea and in Eastern Europe, which were targeted. As always, the real aim was to eradicate Christianity and conquer Europe altogether. This was the right time because Europe had been divided and weakened by the Protestant schism initiated by Martin Luther. In 1565, the Ottoman Empire, based in Turkey, attacked the strategic island of Malta with 40,000 soldiers. By a miracle, the 6,000 Christian soldiers had the upper hand, and under the command of Jean Perisol de Valette, head of the Order of Malta, drove the enemy out in combat, killing 30,000 of them.
Before this bloody confrontation, the Christian commander had the foresight of engraving the rosary crown on his sword. Then after the victorious battle, he made a pilgrimage of thanks to the victorious Madonna of Damascus, where he left his sword and his hat at the foot of the statue of the Madonna. Even today, both his hat and his sword are still exhibited and can be seen in the museum attached to the little chapel in Damascus. The religious intolerance and atrocity committed by Muslims via piracy continued against the Christian, causing extensive damage to both the Venetian and Spanish interests. However, when the Sultan attacked and oppressed the Venetian possessions in Cyprus in May of 1570, Pope Pius V decided to organize a League of Christian States to oppose these ongoing Muslim intrusions. The appeal of the Pope in May of 1571 was answered by the King of Spain, the Republic of Venice, the Duke of Savoy, and the Order of Malta. But it fell silent on the ears of the French, the English, and the Germans, who were heavily influenced by the Protestant Reformation and totally ignored the Pope's appeal.
The greatest commitment in this enterprise was made by the Republic of Venice, whose arsenal, with a truly superhuman effort, built 100 warships called galleys in 100 days. As the Christian League prepared for the impending confrontation, the Turkish fleet continued to repeatedly plunder Christians' possessions in the Adriatic and then retreat to the port of Lepanto and the Gulf of Patras in Greece. The Christian League hastened to congregate at the port of Messina, Sicily, located in a strategic position with respect to the impending operations. The Christian League was placed under the command of the 24-year-old Don Giovanni, selected by the Pope himself. Don Giovanni had already distinguished himself in the fighting against the Moors in Spain. Towards the middle of September of 1571, the Christian ships left Messina with the task of finding and destroying the Ottoman fleet, which continued to perpetuate many atrocities.
The young Christian captain, being very religious, ordered his soldiers not to curse, to go to confession, and then distributed a rosary to each of the soldiers. The evening before the conflict, all the soldiers decided to pray the rosary on their knees. However, at the same time, the Pope had instructed the faithful in both Rome and its surroundings to recite the rosary continually in honor of the Madonna. On the morning of October the 7th, in 1571, the Christian fleet entered the Gulf of Patras, Greece. Captain Don Giovanni and his men did not know that the enemy was more numerous and more skilled than they were. The enemy was comprised of 100,000 men and 300 warships under the Ottoman command of Mehmet Ali Pasha. While the Christian fleet numbered 285 ships with 70,000 men, and many of the Christian soldiers were not qualified for sea battles but were simple volunteers.
The two armed fleets caught sight of each other, and for the first time in the Gulf of Lepanto in Greece, and immediately lined up for battle. Unfortunately, a brisk wind was blowing against the Christians, and a thick fog overwhelmed them, and they could hardly see the enemy. With the wind in favor of the Muslim fleet and full of confidence, they immediately took advantage of the situation to storm the Christian ships in full battle. But with many prayers recited, Our Lady intervened, and in a moment of surprise for everyone, the wind changed direction in favor of the Christians. Thanks now to the favorable wind, a rapid counterattack gave way, and after 5 hours of great bloody battle, it gave the Christian fleet total victory.
The Turkish casualties were estimated at over 30,000, including their commander, Ali Pasha, while over half of their ships were destroyed and the remaining Muslim soldiers captured. The Christian fleet lost 15 ships and 7,700 men. And in addition to the rich booty that they won, they also freed 12,000 Christian rowers who had been slaves of the Turks. History recalls that the Spanish writer Miguel Cervantes Saavedra, the author of the unforgettable novel Don Quixote de la Mancha, also took part in this battle of Lepanto. Cervantes fought heroically, but was wounded in the chest and left arm, which was later amputated. There were many other factors that enabled Christians to defeat the more numerous Muslim fleet. First and foremost was the courageous and highly skilled Christian commander Don Giovanni. Despite his young age, he was outstanding, and his leadership hardly missed any single move.
Almost all the rowers on the league ships were Christians, and no doubt propelled the Christian fleet to victory as they realized they were working for their religious freedom, and their commitment was certainly much higher than those of the adversaries who were slaves and were forced to row for the Muslim fleet. But above all, we need and must remember the intervention of the Madonna and her rosary. With the success of the Battle of Lepanto, the danger of the Muslim pirates was definitely eliminated, and the Ottoman expansionists' aims were finally halted. Pope Pius V, with his roots in the Dominican order, attributed the victory to the intercession of the Madonna, and in remembrance of this battle and to thank the Madonna for the help granted, the Pope instituted that every October 7th to be the feast day of Our Lady of Victory, which then it was called the Feast of the Lady of the Rosary.
Furthermore, the tradition of honoring the Madonna of the Rosary for the whole month of October is also attributed to Pope Pius V. The remains of this great and holy Pope are found in the Cathedral of Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome. So whenever we are in Rome, we should pay a visit and thank this great Pope when Christianity remained intact thanks to his foresight and the intercession of Our Lady and her Rosary, which brought about this great naval victory and liberty to Christianity. The time is now is running short, so we greet and thank all our dear listeners for taking part in this program. I remind you to arrange testimonial stories on the power of the Rosary and send them via mail, regular or electronic, to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with the power of the Rosary. We encourage our listeners to pray the Holy Rosary either in groups or alone, reminding of the victory that has been promised to us. It will arrive at a proper time. This is a promise we cannot dispute because it has been promised by our dear mother who loves us very much. We would like to acknowledge the contributors of this episode, which are Preghiere per la Famiglia and PK Soft, which are found on the internet. The time has ended. Reno and Teresa from Radio Maria Canada wish you a good day. We ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with Mother Mary to bless us and keep us safe now and always. Ciao, ciao. We thank our dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada for having welcomed us into their homes. Let's make an appointment for next week at the same time when we continue with the power of the Rosary. Ciao, ciao!
Tu sei la madre mia.